human form of life is especially meant for one purpose, and that is the purification of the heart. Originally, we are all Krishna conscious. We are all pure lovers of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exclaimed, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunai Saravanadi Sudichite Khoriya Yudai. That pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. By chanting the names of the Lord and by associating with his devotees, this original natural tendency of loving service to the Lord is awakened from within. Indeed, everything we do should be for the purpose of purification alone. Therefore, we have gathered here together on this auspicious celebration of Sri Govardhan Puja for the purpose of purifying our hearts by congregationally uniting to glorify the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. On this day of Govardhan Puja, which is perhaps the most celebrated of all days in Vrindavan Dham, millions of people from all over come to circumambulate Giriraj, Govardhan Bharavat. In fact, some people, they do what is called Dandavat Parikram, where they offer their full prostration, and where their hand touches the ground, they place their foot and offer another full prostration. And they continue all the way around Govardhan Hill, which is 21 kilometers. Some perform what is called the Exavat Dandavat Parikram, where they offer obeisances in 108 places, and then they take one step, and then another 108 obeisances, and then another step, and go all the way around. And there is no festival in Vrindavan where the temples are so beautifully decorated for celebration than the holy day of Govardhan Puja. I remember in 1971, when I first came to Vrindavan, there was a very old Babaji, a very, very sincere devotee of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar. And he said to me, "You have just come to Vrindavan?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Ah." He said, "All over India, what to speak of all over the world, they consider that the people of Vrindavan are crazy. After all, just try to stay for some time and see what we are doing here." He said, "The fact is, we are crazy. We are crazy for Krishna. And our goal in life is to become more and more and more and more crazy for Krishna, day after day after day. Just like a man who is haunted by a ghost is obsessed with that ghost, a devotee desires to be obsessed with devotional service to Krishna. He cannot escape the desire from loving devotion to the Lord within his heart." And then this man said to me that if you stay here, if you chant the name of Krishna, let me warn you, you will become crazy too. So I took this instruction as my life and soul. Someday, with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, I am praying that I will become crazy for Krishna. And this is a nice day to become crazy for Krishna. What is it about this day that the Vaishnavas consider so important? Everyone by the millions is coming to worship a hill? In answer to this question, I would like to briefly narrate the story from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the story of Govardhan Puja is explained by Srila Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. In each and every one of the divine leelas of Sri Krishna, there are most essential messages to be understood in our life. It is explained that Balaramji, when he was 8 years old, and his younger brother, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, when he was 7 years old, they were wandering through the pasture grounds of Vrindavan in an area which is called Jagyasthan. And there they saw Nanda Maharaj, the father, and all of his companions organizing a very massive, massive sacrifice. There was all sorts of foodstuffs prepared. There was all sorts of ritualistic paraphernalia. So Krishna approached his father and he inquired, "What is it that you are doing, my father? I can see you are performing a sacrifice. What do you hope to accomplish by this sacrifice? Who is it that you are trying to satisfy by this sacrifice? After all, my dear father, one who performs rituals but does not understand what the goal of the ritual is, why he is performing the different aspects of the ritual, and who he is trying to satisfy by the ritual, such a person cannot attain success in the performance of that sacrifice. So please kindly tell me. There should be no secrets amongst us family members." So Nanda Maharaj began to explain. That we are worshipping King Indra because the rains that come from the sky are very essential to our livelihood. After all, we are Vaishyas. We are in the cowherd community. And if there is rains, there is grains and grass, and then the cows eat nicely and provide nice milk, and the grains grow from the ground. And in this way, there will be prosperity. So this is a very ancient tradition that our forefathers have been performing for many, many generations. Notice that Sri Krishna, who is Jagyeshwar, he is the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. Krishna says in Gita that any sacrifice you offer to a devata or demigod, ultimately it is coming to me. Now this Jagyapati, the Lord of all sacrifice, he is revealing the truth of what is this performance of various rituals. Nothing should be done simply for the sake of tradition or ritual. All over the world, and very much so in India, young people are going away from their religion. They are not interested. They are studying science, technology, and they consider that religion is something very backward, very unrealistic, and very impractical. Why? Because what they have been exposed to is empty rituals. They go to the church or the mosque or the temple. They see even their parents at home, and so often they are performing their aartis, or they are performing their mass, or they are offering their obeisances to the holy city. And they ask, "Why are we doing like this? For who are we trying to please?" There are so many technical little details of what you are doing. What is it for? What is the scientific, philosophical explanation? And there is none. So they consider, it is all useless, it is all empty. It is all a waste of time. I could be making money the time I'm sitting here performing this ritual, ringing this bell and offering incense to a statue. So therefore, the young generation of the world is becoming very degraded and very corrupt. They are more interested in worshiping some movie star or some singer than they are some musician, than they are worshiping the Lord or his devotees, the saints. So Krishna explains that everything we do should be done with meaning, understanding, and feeling. The rituals that we perform are means of expressing our love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. Just like today we have performed the Abhishek. To an unintelligent person, it just seems like some ritual. So what? They're taking this milk and yogurt and ghee and putting it on top of a statue. Better they give it to me. I will enjoy it. Or feed the poor with it. Actually, Krishna is so kind that after you bathe him, he still gives it to you unto the poor. Why are they spending so much time, so much money, so much energy in this ritual? Because we understand that Krishna is a person. And Krishna has transcendental senses, just as you have senses. Man is made in the image of God. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part and parcel of God. We all have the same qualities as Krishna, but in a minute proportion. Anandamayo bhyashat. We are all pleasure seeking. Why are we pleasure seeking? Because we are part of Lord Ram, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. And the constitutional position of our senses is to give pleasure to the master of senses, Rishikesh, Sri Krishna. The purpose of a part is to give service to the whole. Each part of the body, the hands, the legs, the mouth, gives service to the whole body. If they try to enjoy independently, they must suffer and they must die. So therefore, the real pleasure of our own senses can only be truly experienced when we learn how to unite our devotional sentiments toward Krishna. Everyone has devotional sentiments. Some are devoted to money, some are devoted to job, some are devoted to name and fame, some are devoted to family members or friends or nation or to some philanthropic cause. If we simply dovetail that natural propensity for devotion to the supreme object of devotion, or Krishna, then we experience the real pleasure, the real joy of life. So Krishna was telling Nanda Maharaj that I want to know exactly why you are performing this sacrifice, what the sacrifice is, and who it is for, and what you will accomplish by doing so. And factually, when we approach any ritual or any religious performance in life, we should also very, very deeply understand these concepts. That is the purpose of guru and sadhu. To make these rituals alive. An opportunity to express your bhakti, your devotion, your desire to love and to serve the Lord. You may have no love. But this is an opportunity to show the Lord that you want to love him, that you want to serve him. So Nanda Maharaj, after explaining that this was a ritual meant for King Indra, Lord Sri Krishna replied by explaining that, my dear father, the laws of karma are such that you get the result of whatever you do. As you sow, so shall you reap. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. So if you are doing good work, you will get good results. What does Indra have to do with it? The gods and the Supreme God, he said, they are all bound to simply fulfill whatever your good or bad activities are meant to reap. So therefore, just do good work. Work is worship. Forget God. Forget the gods. Krishna was personally taking this position of an atheist. God becomes an atheist sometimes. But when God becomes an atheist, he's the best atheist. Even the greatest theist cannot defeat him. Just like Lord Buddha, he is none other than Vishnu avatar. But he came to preach an atheistic philosophy. And he completely defeated all theists and got everyone to worship him. But he never claimed to be God. He never even discussed God. So Krishna is doing like this. Work is worship. Don't worry for the temples or any of these other matters. Of course, later on, Krishna explains in Gita that this is all nonsense. Jagyarthat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana taratam karma kontaya mukta sanga samachara. That whatever work you do, Krishna says, should be done as an offering of love to me. Otherwise, anything you do is the cause of bondage. Bondage in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance must culminate in the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, Sri Krishna explains that this conception of work is worship at the best can bring you to the mode of goodness, sattva-guna. But when that pious activity runs out, again, you must fall into a suffering condition of life. Therefore, work can only fructify in real peace, real satisfaction, when it is offered to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is about to show us how. He told Nanda Maharaj that instead of doing this Indra Puja, why not worship Govardhan Hill? After all, Indra, he will have to give rain according to your karma. Why waste your money? Why waste your time with him? But factually, Govardhan Hill is providing nice fresh waters, nice grasses. The cows are eating the grasses, giving milk, nice grains. So we should worship Govardhan Hill. And then he explained how. That all the Brahmins should chant beautiful mantras in the glorification of the Lord. And all the cows and all the cowherd men and all the cowherd women should circumambulate the hill. And then we should cook mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad. Whatever we have, we should cook it. We should cook nice rice, dal, halwa, rasgulla, sandesh, gulab jamun, pakoras, samosas, everything. and make mountains and mountains and mountains. Whatever stock of food we have, just make mountains and mountains and mountains. Every Brijabasi, let them cook and bring it before Govardhan Hill. And after this massive offering of bhoga was put before Govardhan, Sri Krishna himself expanded to a gigantic, gigantic size. And then he exclaimed, I am Govardhan Hill. This Govardhan Hill is none other than an incarnation of me. And I have come to accept all of your offerings. And then within seconds, this massive form of Sri Krishna in the form of Giriraj, he consumed, he accepted, and he ate all the offering. There was nothing left. And then he began to cry out, Aniyor, Aniyor, I want more. And the Brijabasi said, there's nothing left. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna says that he's satisfied with a little fruit, a flower, a little glass of water. If it's offered with devotion and if you're satisfied with a flower or a piece of fruit, if it's offered with devotion, the Brijabasi is offered mountains and mountains and mountains, the whole stock of all of their food at one time. Krishna is unlimited. He does not need what we have, but he is so merciful, he is so kind to accept whatever we offer with love. So in this way, Sri Giriraj performed this most miraculous deed of eating all the bhoga, all the food that was prepared for him. And then Lord Sri Krishna, he expanded himself as Giriraj, but still he maintained his own original form as a little 7-year-old boy. And by his example to teach us, he personally offered his prostrated obeisances to Govardhan Hill. And all the Brijabasis followed behind and offered obeisances. So from this time on, sometimes people collect a single rock from this Govardhan Hill. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one little stone this size, and he understood that it is non-different than the body of Krishna. And he worshipped it. And 24 hours a day, this Govardhan Shila was covered with the tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tears of love. A moment later, by the inconceivable mercy of the Lord, all the bhoga that was prepared and eaten immediately appeared again before them. And he told them, now, first feed the Brahmins, then feed the elders, then feed everyone. The rich, the poor, the humans, the animals, everyone should feast on this nice Mahaprasad of Govardhan Hill. So after having this wonderful festival and this wonderful feast, all the cowherd men, very happy, and all the gopis, they returned to their respective homes, chanting the glories of Sri Krishna. Everyone was very happy, except Indra. This is the way this world is. To make one person happy, you have to put another person in distress. Huh? You can please some of the people some of the time, but you can never please all the people all the time. So Indra was very much infuriated. But actually, this was Krishna's divine plan, because Indra is his devotee. And Krishna knew that Indra was infatuated with false pride. And therefore, he had to smash that pride out of his mercy. Queen Kunti has prayed, Janmaishwari Ashuti Shribir Edamanavatman, Naivarhatyavidatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. That one who has a lot of wealth, who has great physical strength, beauty, and a high education, high parentage, such a person is prone to become very, very proud. And that person cannot properly chant the name of God. Pride is the number one worst enemy of a devotee. And Krishna does not tolerate pride. As soon as there is pride in our heart, Krishna has nothing to do with us. Devotional service is based exclusively on one principle, and that is humility. To the degree there is humility in our heart, to that degree what we do is pleasing to Krishna. To the degree we think that we are great, we are intelligent, we are beautiful, we are spiritually advanced, we are coming from high family, to that degree whatever we do is useless in the eyes of God. Maya's most subtle and her most deadly weapon is false pride. Even if a person becomes utterly celibate, even if a person gives up his family, his home, his wealth, to live in the jungles, to perform severe tapasya, who memorizes every verse of every scripture in the world, he's waging a great attack against Maya. But how does Maya defeat him? Very simple. She creeps into his heart and convinces him that you are very advanced. You are very great. You are a saint. Therefore, a true devotee never considers himself advanced. In comparison to the Supreme Godhead, a devotee understands that he is utterly insignificant. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Srila Prabhupada says, this is another type of fall, of pride. Some are thinking that they are most advanced. That is pride. You are thinking you are the most fallen. That is another pride. The truth is, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. That is your position eternally. Insignificant. When we accept this principle within our heart, then our service gives the ultimate pleasure to the Lord. So King Indra, he had too much wealth, too much education, too much power and prestige, and he became infatuated. He was so infatuated that he could not even recognize the Lord of his life standing right in front of him. So he called the Samvartaka clouds, the clouds that are called for the devastation of the world. And he told them, go to Vrindavan and inundate the whole land and destroy all the residents. Instead of worshiping me, they are listening to this talkative child, Krishna. How dare them? They must be destroyed. This is the tendency of a proud person. Cannot tolerate anyone else getting respect except him. Cannot tolerate anyone getting more recognition than me. We all have that demon within us. We all want to be the enjoyer. But a real devotee, his greatest pleasure is seeing other people advance better than himself. Seeing other people getting the mercy of Gurus and Krishna more than me. He finds the greatest pleasure and joy in seeing other people becoming elevated and glorified for their devotion to God. He offers all respects to others and expects none in return. Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So King Indra was very outraged with anger. And these clouds came to Vrindavan and he was following behind them on his Airavata carrier. And there were torrents and torrents and torrents of rain. The rain was so thick it was like pillars falling from the sky. And there was the cracking of thunder, roaring and roaring and roaring. And lightning bolts flying in all directions. And Vrindavan was becoming more and more filled with water and high winds and freezing cold. And the cows and the residents of Brajatam, they were suffering terribly. And they all approached Krishna. Please, Krishna, this is all because we listen to you. Just see what Indra's doing. We take shelter of you. Please protect us. Krishna always protects his devotee. He was protecting Indra by protecting him from his pride by smashing it. And he was protecting the residents of Vrindavan by helping them in a moment of helplessness. So Lord Sri Krishna, who was standing in the porch of his home, he ran to where Govardhan Hill was. And quite effortlessly, he lifted this hill and he held it up with the little finger of his left hand. And then he called all of his friends and family members and said, come, take shelter under this Govardhan Hill. So everyone came running under Govardhan Hill. And as they were standing under the glorious mountain, they were all fixed in looking at the beautiful features of Sri Krishna. With such love that for 7 days and seven nights, neither Krishna nor any of his friends even thought of eating or sleeping. Hunger, thirst, fatigue could not touch them because they were all immersed in this loving reciprocation with one another. After 7 days, one may ask, how is it, from a technical point of view, if all the water is coming off Govardhan Hill, then it has to come back in from underneath. Huh? But by Krishna's mystic power, that as the rain was hitting Govardhan Hill, it was evaporating. So nothing came down from the mountain to the ground. One may also ask the story, ask the question. When Krishna ran to Govardhan Hill, he must have gotten very wet. Huh? But as he ran from his home to Govardhan Hill, by his divine powers, not a drop of rain even touched him. So as Krishna was lifting the Govardhan hill for 7 days and 7 nights, the natural tendency of the Brijbasis is that they love Krishna as a child. When they're in an emergency situation, they approach him as God and say, please protect me. But when everything is all right, they do not like to think of him as God. They like to think of him as a helpless little child. If I do not feed him, he will die. His parents, his friends, they play with him, they joke with him. So as they were under Govardhan Hill and out of danger, they were all thinking that Krishna, he's just a little child. He cannot be lifting this hill. So they all picked up sticks and started putting it under the hill, holding it, thinking, actually, we are doing. And Krishna was enjoying this wonderful leela, and he was smiling. After 7 days, King Indra understood that this is the Supreme God. What offense that I have committed to him. So he told the Samvartaka clouds, go away, stop. And then the clouds dispersed, the rain stopped, and it became a very beautiful and sunny day. And then Sri Krishna told all of his beloved devotees that now there is no danger. Now you all go back to your homes and enjoy. And then they all went out from Govardhan Hill, and Krishna effortlessly placed it back onto the ground. And then his elders, they began to embrace him and to kiss him and to engage in all sorts of affectionate expressions of love. And his friends, they began to joke with him and play with him. And those who were younger than him, they touched his feet. This way, according to everyone's relationship with Krishna, they all expressed their love. And then they all went home. Indra was so humiliated. So Krishna went to a secluded place. And Indra came to that secluded place. And when he got there, he offered his prostrated obeisances, and the golden helmet on his head, he placed at the feet of Lord Gopal. And Indra explained that, you see, due to my pride, I have even offended my eternal master, my eternal father. This is the nature of pride, is it makes you offensive. You cannot even identify who is a great soul. And if you see a great soul, instead of glorifying him, you become envious of him. Therefore, it is said, pride cometh before the fall. Because due to pride, when we become envious and offend great souls, this is the utter destruction of our spiritual life. It is the greatest impediment. So Indra approached Krishna with great humility. My Lord, you are so kind, you are so merciful, that you have protected me from this desire for prestige. And Krishna explained to Indra that because he is his devotee, because you are my devotee, this is my love for you. When Krishna shows you his compassion, sometimes he gives you whatever you want. But his supreme compassion is he takes everything away. So that you helplessly fall on your hands and knees and say, Krishna, I am nothing. Please save me. Our pride is like a massive mountain within our heart. But Krishna is Govardhanadhari. His most wonderful leela is to lift mountains. So if we surrender to Krishna, if we fall at the feet of Krishna and fall at the feet of his devotees, this is the process by which we can become free from the great deadly demon of pride within us. Allow Krishna to lift it. Along with Indra came Surabhi, the mother of all cows. And for the favor that she offered to save all the cow children, she bathed Krishna with her milk. And Indra performed the Abhishek with the water of the Ganges that came from his elephant, Airavata. So in this way, there was a glorious, glorious Abhishek ceremony for Sri Krishna. Therefore, on Govardhan Puja, it is most auspicious to celebrate with the sacred Abhishek. And then Indra, taking leave of Sri Krishna, returned to his abode, a very simple and humble devotee. So, Maya is very strong. We are living in a world, it is called a world where there is constantly the downpour of the miseries of material existence. We are in a storm where the lightning, the thunder, and the tumultuous rains of the temptations for sense enjoyment are constantly beating upon us. This material world is a storm. Therefore, Krishna has exhibited how we can gain refuge. He is Giridhari. He is the protector of his devotee from the temptations of sinful life. He is the protector of his devotees from the miseries due to the temporary conditions of this world. But he only protects those who humbly fall at his feet and take shelter, as did the residents of Vrindavan. So on this most auspicious day of Govardhan Puja, let us remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, that we are eternally his helpless servants. Srila Balabhacharya was one of the very, very great devotees of Srinathji. The same Gopal Srinathji, who we saw the installation of today. And his beautiful and wonderful prayer was Sri Krishna Sharanam Mam. Krishna, I take shelter of your lotus feet. I surrender to you. I have nowhere else to go. I have nothing else to see. You are my only refuge. Similarly, that great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, he has prayed, I have seen and considered the whole world, my Lord, and my conclusion is that without you, nothing can save me. No one can save me. Samashita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punyayashomarari. That this material world is a place where there is danger at every step, whoever you are. whether you are an insignificant ant or whether you are the king of heaven. At any moment there is suffering, pain, or death. Therefore, Bhagavatam explains, Kripam Buddharvatsa Padam 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 Yadvi Padam Natesha. That we should make our goal in life the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Our only goal, our only refuge, our only shelter, our only wealth, our only treasure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, my dear Lord, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my friend, you are my master, you are my guru, you are everything to me. That my wealth, my body, my home, my family members, my intelligence, everything I have, Krishna, I surrender to you. Because you are everything to me. You are Giridhari. So on this auspicious day, let us pray to Sri Giridhari that we may also take refuge of his lotus feet and seek shelter from the deluge of distractions that are constantly coming to our life in this world. And that same Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, the protector of his devotees, has appeared within the sound of his holy name, so that anywhere we may be, in any situation, we can find his shelter, we can find his refuge by chanting his name. Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarva shaktista trapitani amitasmaranena kala ethadrisita vakripa bhagavan mamapi duradaivam idrishami hajani nanuraga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that within your name, Krishna, you have empowered all of your potency. That potency that has lifted the Govardhan Hill, that has protected all the devotees, all of that power is within your name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So let us always, with a sincere and devoted heart, with great attention and great sincerity, let us take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.